A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers of Mandarin Channel once again on our program called The Legacy of Raza Alhamdulillah we have our Honorable Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah. Insha'Allah, we'll hear a lot of words of wisdom from our Honorable Ustad Sahib. But before we continue, let us hear some fadail of sending salawat upon the best of creation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has stated, the one who recites 80 times Durood Sharif on the day of Friday, 80 years of his sins will be forgiven. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الحمد لله you are all aware our silsila, our program is in regards to the best imam, imam اهل سنت مجدد دين وملة الشاه imam احمد رضا خان فاضل بريلوي رحمة الله تعالى عليه and inshallah today's topic will be in regards to the ibadah, the worship of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Subhanallah. You see, worship, it's fard upon every single Muslim. Whether that's, you see, worship comes in many forms. Whether that be in the daily salah form, whether that be in the fasting form, zakat form, you know, giving sadaqah. You know, there's many forms of worship. But when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the state of our worship? You know, is our concentration there? You know, are we neglectful within our worship? Or do we even worship or do we not pray our daily salah? Are we not fasting in the month of Ramadan? What is the state of our worship? Inshallah, we will discuss this in regards to Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi in regards to his worship, inshallah. The Caliph of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, Sayyid Ayyub Ali Razvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said that once Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was going to Bareilly by train, and on the way, the train stopped at Nawab Ganj station, where the train usually stops for 2 minutes at Maghrib time. Probably five people were behind him, offering salah in his iqtida, and I was one of them. Before joining the Jamaat, I saw a non-Muslim guard who was waving a green flag standing at the platform. I peeped through the window and saw that the line was clear and the train was about to leave. But the train did not move and Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi offered all three rakat of Maghrib Salah. When he performed salam to his right, the train began to move. The muqtadis spontaneously recited Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. The thing that needs to be considered in this saintly miracle is that if the Jamaat had been offered at platform, it could have been said that the guard stopped the train by seeing a pious man offering salah. But it did not happen. How could the God know about it in this short period of time that a beloved bondsman of Allah was offering a fard salah in the train? Subhanallah. What a beautiful incident in regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. That no matter what place that he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he offered his prayer. This is something that we need to take into accountability as well. No matter what state we are in, no matter where we are traveling, whether we are on a train, on a coach, in an aeroplane, on a boat, on a ship, wherever we may be, whenever it's time for salah, we are to offer our salah. There's no excuse for abandoning our salah. You see, this is a sad reality in today's society that people are actually abandoning their salah for the most smallest of reasons. A small headache, they abandon their salah. A small stomachache, they miss salah. And these are the excuses that people are making up. Question is, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, that do you think these excuses will be valid on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one who misses salah purposefully will be out of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's move to our Honorable Ustaz Sahab. You see, Ustaz Sahab, this was the character of Sayyid Ala Hazrat. No matter where he was, he wouldn't miss his prayer.
Subhanallah. Now, this is a sifa of the true believers, in fact, the awliyaullah, the true men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give priority to the ibadah of Allah.
Mm. Subhanallah.
Because they know the maqsad of life isn't to chill, isn't just to earn. Remember, there are certain things we need to do as a necessity. We do have to earn, we do have to work. But this is not the main priority. The main maqsad of our life is what? وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
SubhanAllah.
That Allah created insan, mankind and jinnkind for His worship. And the worship benefits us. The salah has been prescribed at specific times. And we have to read namaz at those times. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaba mawquta. Salah is necessary upon believers at their prescribed times. But as you touched upon, nowadays people take this matter very lightly. And then we complain of a lack of blessings. So, for example, if someone's traveling for a wedding abroad, or a holiday, or any trip abroad, some people automatically have this mindset that because I'm traveling, I don't have to offer my prayer. Meaning it's all right, mu'af hai. Allah Ta'ala is all-forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is all-merciful. Remember, Allah Ta'ala is all-merciful and forgiving, right? But He is also the one who takes to account. He is also the one who punishes. He is also the one who's mentioned the adab that lies in store for the disobedient. So, when it comes to awliya Allah, when it comes to the likes of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmah, they prioritize their ibadah. And when they prioritize the ibadah, look what happens, subhanAllah. Miraculous things like this where Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is performing his salah and he is given enough time to complete his prayer as well.
SubhanAllah.
Otherwise, in that situation, normally that doesn't happen. And there's plenty of other examples of other salihin, other righteous people who were aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were able to perform their ibadah without mashaqqah, without difficulty. Why? Because they maintain that ibadah throughout their lives. And in the Quran where it talks about the awliya Allah, and it says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ It speaks about them being believers and them maintaining piety. Maintaining piety means never missing your salah, being consistent with salah. So the kamal, the perfection isn't in just offering a salah here and there. This is what happens today when people are able to perform a salah here or there, or they recite Durood Sharif 1,000 times in one go. We get this sense of superiority. I've done a massive thing. If we get a chance to wake up for tahajjud in our life, I'm a great person. But these awliyaullah, they did it every day, consistently. And because of the barakah of that, in difficult situations, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala aided them. Allah ta'ala created means for them so that there was no obstacle in them performing ibadah. So this is the case with Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. You'll find many other examples. The founder of Dawat Islami, Amir al-Sunnat Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Dawat Barakat Mulaliyah, he time and time again mentions his own experiences. I'm sure he's mentioned an account where he was in Haramain Sharifain and the driver wasn't stopping. And Amir al-Sunnat was becoming very hesitant, very, very hesitant and very anxious, and he's asking the driver to stop. What are you doing? I need to offer salah. We need to offer salah. Like, it's fine, we're in travel, don't worry. And eventually, the overview is that something happened to the transportation and it actually stopped as well. And he was able to perform his salah. So the men of Allah, they aided, and no salah of theirs becomes qada. And we need to reach that level where we're prioritizing. Similarly, regarding Amir al-Sunnat, it's mentioned that whenever he has to travel, he makes sure to pick that time for the flight where there's no namaz nearby, like near that timing. So he's able to visit Dubai, where he stays quite a bit, or other places. And not many namaz come during the travel, because he knows about the difficulty of offering salah in travel as well. Similarly, whenever he's had operations in the past, surgeries in the past, he said that he's deliberately picked those timings, like at night, after Isha, where he knows for a good few hours there's no salah, there's no jamaat, which is wajib upon a person. So Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnah is an ashiq of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, and we need to be ushaq of the Salihin as well. Prioritize namaz. Like you said, in the workplace, we think, oh, what people are going to think? They're going to think, well, what's this person doing? We don't look at people. We look at the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made ibadah fard upon us. Then our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved ibadah. He is Sayyidul Abideen. There's no worshipper like our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Aisha narrates, it's a famous narration, famous account, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would stand for so long at night, حَتَّى تَوَرَّمَتْ قَدَمَهُ until his blessed feet would become swollen.
Allah.
And she asked, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for your sake, the previous and latter people from your ummah are forgiven. So she couldn't understand why all this mashaqqa, why all this hardship, why all this suffering that you're going through and putting on yourself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا Should I not be a grateful slave? So this is the heights that we need to reach, where we realize that no matter how much ibadah we do, it's still less. Because the in'amat are so many. The blessings are so many. The Prophet ﷺ was teaching us that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with such a great maqam, Sayyidul Anbiya, Imamul Anbiya. He'll have maqam-i mahmood in the Akhirah, khas shafa'at in the Akhirah. He will be the first to enter Jannah with his ummah. For all of these things, he has to show gratitude. This is what he felt. And likewise, when we live our lives, there's so many things that we should be grateful for. And what I'm touching upon here is additional ibadat. Nawafil, kathratun nawafil. But first and foremost, the faraid should be intact. People go, na'udhu billah, it's seen. People even go to the blessed lands and they're very lazy in terms of their ibadat. Okay, you've come for umrah, but it doesn't mean to say that gazing at the Kaaba means you don't have to perform the next five salahs. Every salah you have to perform. You can't be sleeping at the time of salah in your hotel and say, look, I'm in Haram Sharif, I'm getting reward. And Haram Sharif, the matter is even more delicate because if there's 100,000 good deeds given for one good deed, there's also 100,000 sins given for one sin as well. So namaz and salah and ibadah, this is something that we have to enjoy and love.
Definitely.
It will come with jabr, with forcing ourselves. Initially, it's hard on the nafs. But the more we put that force and pressure upon the nafs, we'll, inshallah, come to love ibadah. And every time we're away from ibadah, we'll think, restlessness, I need to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah allow us to reach that
Ameen.
State.
Ameen. Isn't there a saying of Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnat that the one who forces himself to pray is more rewarded because his heart isn't there.
No.
And he forces himself to offer salah because he knows it's, I have to do it. So he forces his nafs that you're going to pray.
Yeah.
And you know, as well as Tasawwuf, you mentioned the blessed lands of Haramain Sharifain. You know, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, his love for Jamaat as well.
SubhanAllah.
You know, like at the station, he performed Jamaat. At that time, if you're traveling, nobody's thinking about Jamaat. He's just thinking, okay, if somebody does pray, mashallah, nobody's going to be thinking about Jamaat. He's going to be thinking about, I just want to pray my own prayer. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, subhanAllah, his love for Jamaat was next level. You know, we know in our masajid nowadays in the UK as well, there's a masjid on nearly every corner. And there are some unfortunate people that they'll be living right next to the masjid, neighbors to the masjid, but they're unable to come to the masjid.
No.
You know, Jamaat's wajib, we know that unless there's a shari'i uzar or a reason, etc. There's four narrations in regards to Jamaat. The first one is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that one offering salah with Jamaat is 27 times more superior to the salah offered alone.
Allah.
The second one is that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, the one who performs a perfect wudu and goes to offer an obligatory salah and offer salah with Jamaat, his sins will be forgiven. Third one is the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with those who offer salah with Jamaat. And the fourth one is the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who offers salah for 40 days with Jamaat, with first takbir, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, two freedoms will be written, one from hell and second one from hypocrisy.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. You know, it's for the viewers of Madani channel that if we have a masjid in our locality, which is near to our homes, we shouldn't abandon our salah from Jamaat. You know, abandoning salah in itself, just general salah, is impermissible. But abandoning salah whilst the masjid is local to you, abandoning the jamaat, if we're not busy, if we're at home, just chilling, not at work, not doing anything busy, and we have got time, we can go to the masjid to offer jamaat, offer our salah with jamaat, but we're being lazy, then unfortunately we will become sinful for this action. You see, as I mentioned, an incident in regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat about his Maghrib prayer, a similar incident happened with Sayyidi Ala Hazrat in regards to his Fajr prayer. When Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, at the age of 52, once he performed all the rites of Hajj, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was now traveling towards Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, performed all the rites of Hajj, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, became very severely ill. And when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, became very ill to such an extent that he got ill for approximately 2 months.
Allahu
Akbar. And he was unable to get out of bed. And when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, to some extent, when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, recovered from this illness, he got ready to visit the luminous Rawdatul Mubarak, the blessed Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after 3 days passing through Jeddah by a boat, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, hired of a camel to take him towards Al-Madinatul Munawwara. On the way, when he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, reached Bir al-Sheikh, his destination was near, but there was very little time for Fajr. The camel drivers decided to stop their camels at the destination, but until then, the time of Fajr had passed. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, having examined this situation, my companions and I got off the camels and the caravan had left. We had a bucket, but there was no rope to attach with the bucket so that we can take water out of the well to perform wudu with that water. So then what they did was that they made a rope with their imamas, with their turbans, and that's how they took water out from the well. And once they took water out, they performed wudu and they performed their salah, bihamdillahi ta'ala. Now Sayyidi Ala Hazrat began to wonder that how will I reach Al-Madinatul Munawwara? You know, the caravan has left. The camel riders have left. They left me behind. I had to offer my Fajr salah and they have left. Now how will I reach my destination? Subhanallah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, even being in the state of illness for almost 2 months, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi still didn't abandon his salah.
No.
You know, if we become ill for 1 day or 2 days, that's if we think that for the next 3-4 weeks, we don't have to offer our salah. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was ill for 2 months. Even in his era of illness, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi didn't abandon his salah. And he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that when I offered my salah and I turned my face around, he said, I saw a strange camel driver standing with his camel waiting for me. I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I mounted the camel. People asked him that how did he bring the camel here? He replied that he was urged by Sheikh Hussein to leave no stone unturned in serving Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Because when we traveled a bit, I found out that my camel driver was standing with his camel. When he was asked, he replied, when the camel drivers of the caravan did not stop, I thought that it would hurt the Sheikh. That's why I untied a camel from the caravan and brought it back here. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, all these are the favors of my holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, there was a great difference between me, the chief of Rabi'ah, Sheikh Hussein, who I did not know, and the camel drivers who were short-tempered and their unusual manners, i.e. they respected me a lot. You see, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is why we say offering salah removes all sort of difficulties. You see, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he abandoned his ride towards Al-Madinatul Munawwara just so that he can offer his Fajr salah. He got off the camel and the caravan had left him. And they even had mushaqqat, they had difficulty in performing wudu. They had to tie imamas to make a rope to pull out the water so they can perform wudu and offer salah. And then when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi offered his salah, he had no ride left to go back to Madinatul Munawwara. But then because of the blessings of offering salah, subhanallah. You know, offering salah is the method of removing all your difficulties. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, just turned around and he found his camarade there. Subhanallah. You know, imagine, you know, a lot of people complain and they say that Imam sahab, we're going through this difficulty, we're going through that difficulty, wazifa daso, koi taweez dio, you know, give us some sort of remedy. You know, but the best remedy that a person can give, and this is my advice to you viewers of Madani Channel, the best remedy to remove all of your difficulties is by offering your daily salah. I can vouch for this, that if you begin to offer your daily salah without fail, all five prayers without fail, then I can guarantee all of your difficulties will be removed from your lives. So, I mean, look at this example that was being given to us by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that he was in the form of difficulty. He was going through difficulty, through mushakkat. He didn't have a ride. Even being ill for 2 months, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, offered his prayer. You know, and then how was he going to walk for so many miles? But offering his prayer, he turned around and his camel rider was there. Subhanallah. Now, Ustaz, what would you say about something like this?
Subhanallah, again, it shows that the awliya Allah, the saliheen, the men of Allah, those with true piety, they will never become exhausted when it comes to the worship of Allah. Because they've trained themselves to that extent that without ibadah, they don't feel complete. And if we were to give today's example on how we've trained ourselves, but in other ways, in negative ways, we can compare it to how someone who spends 10 hours a day gaming, playing on games, or scrolling through shorts on social media. Mm. We become so accustomed to these things that if you say to us, if someone says to us, never mind 10 hours, you're allowed to spend 12 hours today. So our eyes light up, 12 hours. Because we become so accustomed to it. And when we do read about the awliya of the past, the saliheen, the righteous of this ummah, we become a bit confused. We think, how do they manage to do all of that? The reason is because the way we are addicted to these kind of things today, social media, sports, other things, gaming, they were, we can put it like this, they were addicted to the worship of Allah. Because they had accustomed themselves to the worship of Allah. That without it, they didn't feel any peace in their lives. So when you read about them, they were either offering salah in abundance, reciting Al-Quran al-Kareem, keeping voluntary fasts. Many of them did this simultaneously, all of them together, meaning like during the day they would be fasting, during the night worshipping, researching. And even Ala Hazrat, the personality we're talking about, he spent most of his time researching and answering fatawa. This is an ibadah as well. So, you know, the mafhoom, the meaning of ibadah is vast in Islam. Yeah. Normally when we think about ibadah, we think about the pillars of Islam. Yeah. But it's not limited to that. It's beyond that. Even when we serve our parents, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're earning a livelihood, halal risk for our family members. This all falls under ibadah as well. To the extent that the scholars have said, when you do ziyarah of the Rawda Mutahara of the Prophet alayhi salam, this is classed as ibadah as well. So the mafhoom of ibadah is very vast. And we just have to look at where our strong points are, where our strengths lie, and you know, work on that. Somebody could be more devoted to reading the Quran and he should go all out in that. Another person, he's more inclined towards giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and partaking in charitable acts and welfare activities, he should go all out in that. Another person, he's good at inviting towards good, he should go all out in terms of in that. So we need to fulfill our potential. I would like to just touch upon something regarding the great Imam. Again, this highlights, subhanallah, how he was a multi-talented personality and he had so many things going on. He was writing fatawa, he was helping the ummah tackle the fitna of the time. He was an abid, he was a zahid, he was very generous with his wealth. This particular thing is in regards to Al-Quran al-Kareem. Some people began to write the title of Hafiz before his name. So, Mawlana or Mawlawi Hafiz Ahmad Rida Khan. Ahmad Raza Khan. He wasn't a Hafiz. So when he saw that, instead of just taking pride in the fact that people are calling him Hafiz when he's not Hafiz. Nowadays, people do that. Jiji. You know, when they receive titles, they're not even worthy of. They think, oh, he's blown my trumpet. I'm being praised. It's fine. It's not negative, is it? Na'udhu billah. But the people of the past knew that, look, if that thing isn't within me, then I don't deserve to be called that. And they were not desirous of titles anyway. So someone wrote Hafiz Ahmad Raza Khan. Instead of telling people that, look, stop writing Hafiz, stop calling me Hafiz, I'm not a Hafiz. He could have done that.
Jiji.
Instead, he thought, why disappoint people? If people hold this opinion of me, now I have to fulfill it now. Now I'm going to memorize Al-Quran.
Subhanallah.
And you know his memory, that's another topic altogether, but his memory was very powerful. Ala Hazrat had a unique memory, subhanallah, a photographic memory. We've touched upon this in one of the previous episodes, that when he would read a book, he wouldn't need to go back to that book for several months. And the contents, he would say that, I've memorized the contents of this book my entire life. You know, that's how strong his memory was. So it's mentioned in his seerah that from Isha, after Isha, till the time of Taraweeh prayer, around about 20, 25 minutes, he would spend every day, and this commenced in the month of Ramadan. And by the end of Ramadan, he had memorized the entire Quran.
Subhanallah.
So daily, in 20, 25 minutes, he was able to memorize one part of the Quran.
Subhanallah.
So if you put that all together, 20, 25 minutes a day, for like 30 days, 20 minutes daily, after 10 days, how much is that? 200 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
After 30 days, 600 minutes. 600 minutes, you're looking at 10 hours?
10 hours.
So can you imagine this individual memorize the entire Quran? But remember one thing here, Qibla, that he had an attachment to the Quran. He was quoting the verses of the Quran. So it's not as if it was from scratch. So it wasn't like he had no knowledge of these verses. He knew these verses. But you know how baqaida, like systematically, a person goes to madrasa, learns the Quran. He never learned like that. But he already knew the contents of the Quran, the verses. He would quote them a lot in his works. So he had a photographic memory. So he fulfilled that high opinion, that high estimation that people had of him. And this is similar to another great personality in Islam, our Imam, the founder of the Hanafi school of fiqh, Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He would worship for half the night. Once he was walking by, when someone said, oh, that's that person who spends the entire night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have turned around and said, I'm not at that level yet. Yeah. I only worship half the night. But then he thought, if people are saying this about me, people are thinking this about me, I'm going to have to fulfill it now. I don't want to disappoint people. People have this husnul zan regarding me. All night he began worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and again, it wasn't just so that people continued praising them. They didn't like praise, but they didn't want to disappoint people at the same time as well. So Tilawatul Quran is another thing that we need to focus upon. Today, again, social media has warped our understanding of how we should spend our time. But reciting the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu ibadati ummati tilawatul Quran."
Allah.
This is the superior form of worship for my ummah. Tilawatul Quran. It's the word of Allah. You know, people who study college, university, or any course in life, they spend hours and hours reading thick books. What's the maqsood? That at the end of it, I'm going to get a job. At the end of it, I'm going to benefit monetarily. And with good intentions, it's okay. But when you read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time you read the word of the Quran, the hadith mentions, for every harf of the Quran you read, you get 10 good deeds.
Subhanallah.
Imagine how many haroof there are in the entire Quran.
Subhanallah.
And the problem with us today, Ahmed Bhai, is that because we don't hear that ka-ching every time we do an act of worship, we think, Patani, I'm not sure, you know, what's going to happen, this and that. Our yaqeen should be such that when we reach the akhirah, that balance of our good deeds will be billions and trillions, inshallah. Why? Because we put the time in. Just like the dunya can't be earned without hardship, right? You can't wake up one day and expect to be a millionaire. People have to go through a process. Maybe they fail a number of times. Then they reach that. It's not a straight road. It's very difficult. So what about the akhirah then? The akhirah can't be attained easily as well. And the awliyaullah knew that. And this is why they would go all out. And Allah would facilitate for them. As you mentioned in this waqia of Allah's earth, where he's ill. His body is weak. For the sake of performing namaz with jamaat, he's even left the qafila. But look at how Allah made arrangements. Look how Allah Ta'ala created asbab. Look at the intizamat from the divine, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knows that this wali of his, this servant of his, is true in his intentions, is pious. He never misses salah. Allah facilitated it for him. And today we want that same barakah. We want the same afiyah. But are we willing to put the time in as well? No. Are we willing to be there whenever Allah wants us to be there in his court? So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, khas tawfiq, to worship him and engage in spiritual devotions with ikhlas.
Amen, amen. SubhanAllah. Beautiful words, Ustaz. You know, when we mention these type of scenarios and these stories in front of people about the awliyaullah, now one thing, it is quite disappointing. They say, they reply with that, unnaqul bootam sausla. I mean, time, you know, when it comes to time. And they said that, oh, asakol, you know, we're very busy. Kamma par asa janaya, this and that. One thing I will want to mention is that when it comes to the month of Ramadan, they're able to finish a Quran. Yes. They're able to go to the masjid to offer Salatul Taraweeh.
Yes.
You know, Laylatul Qadr comes. They're able to do more ibadah. Initially, in Ramadan, a person is more spiritual and more, he does more worship out of habit because it's the month of Ramadan. So a person in the month of Ramadan can do all of these things. He can offer his daily prayers. He can recite the Quran daily. He can go to the masjid every single night. So he can make time then. But when it comes out of the month of Ramadan, where's the barakat gone? Initially, when people say that they got more time, we don't. Initially, what it is that they had more barakah in their time, we don't.
Definitely.
We don't have barakah in our time. When it comes to the month of Ramadan, we got enough time. But our duties are the same. We're still working the same hours. You know, we're still going to our jobs daily. We're still buying groceries. Our routine is the same. But we changed a few things because it's the month of Ramadan.
SubhanAllah.
So if our routine is the same as it is outside Ramadan, then initially it's not the time then, it's ourselves.
Definitely.
We need to change ourselves. You know, the awliyaullah, like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, SubhanAllah, like as you mentioned, the worship is very broad, it's vast. It doesn't come under only offering salah and all in that. Seeking knowledge is also a method of worship as well.
Definitely.
It's a form of worship. And like you mentioned, the way Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi memorized the Holy Quran. You know, a lot of people, the attachment to the Quran isn't there as well. The attachment is only temporary. It's only there for a month. And, you know, our attachment with the Quran should be, I mean, it should be given as an example, but it should be the way people attach to social media. Our attachment to the, with the Quran should be even more than that. You know, if a person were to say that if our attachment with the Quran would be like the way our attachment is to social media, every single person would become a hafiz. Every single person. You know, these examples that we give to people and when they are given about the awliyaullah, and people make the excuse of time. SubhanAllah, I mean, I say that no, they had barakah, we didn't have barakah in our time.
Just to add to that, you're absolutely right, because, you know, when you... you meet people who, in terms of the dunya, they consider successful.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs and so on so. And they always say, when asked about the secret behind their success, they say, oh, do you really want to know? It's sleepless nights, working throughout the night, grafting.
Yeah.
And they make it a point to say, don't think this came easily.
Yeah.
And it's believable, it didn't come easily. People, you know, at the expense of their health even, at the expense of other things, they will devote themselves. Why? Because they want to become, you know, wealthy. They want to reach a certain status. And they do. But like you said, if, for example, in the morning, we woke up, instead of looking at if there's any sales and the e-commerce accounts, if there's any messages in social media, imagine someone woke up and the first thing they did was recite the Quran.
SubhanAllah.
Imagine... the urges we get throughout the day just to look at our phone on messages. Someone messaged me, or I remember that person, I left him a message, has he replied? We had the same urge in regards to reciting Quran, tasbih, dhikrullah, durood sharif. We could achieve a lot. So, as you're rightly pointing out, these are things we say to kid ourselves or satisfy ourselves. I don't have time. We have time. So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, al-waqtu kasayf, that time is like a sword. If you do not cut the time, sever the time, meaning engage yourself in good deeds, you know, in the time you have, time will end up severing you. What that means is it'll end up cutting you and harming you by utilizing you in acts of disobedience.
Allah.
Acts that don't benefit at all. And this is what happens. And Amir al-Sunnah famously says that do the things that you're supposed to do. Otherwise, shaitan will engage you in things that you're not supposed to do.
Allah.
And this is it. Time is a commodity that we have. We all have the same 24 hours. We all have the same months, years. How come some people end up achieving a lot more? Some people achieve way less. And we're left scratching our heads. It's because prioritizing. And ibadah is the same. Giving fawqiyat to something, tarjih to something, that this comes first.
Sahih.
And our teachers would always say that if you revolve your life around salah, deen, then you will see the barakah. But if you do everything else and you say, chalo, if I have a bit of time, I'll give time for the deen as well, then that's not the right approach. So may Allah fill our time with barakah, as you said, and give us tawfiq to utilize that time only in acts of goodness.
Subhanallah, ameen, ameen. You know, like I was mentioning, the attachment with the Quran. If you think our social media, our last scene is like 10 seconds ago, 2 minutes ago. But our last scene with the Quran was last Ramadan. That's the reality.
Allah.
And, you know, we're talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi and his attachment with worship. Yeah, and not only did he have love for Salah and Quran, but he also had love for seeking Islamic knowledge as well. You see, he, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, would busy himself in the propagation of Islamic knowledge day and night. And seeking Islamic knowledge as well, Ustaz Sahib, you know better as well, is better than a nafli act. It's better than a nafli deed. And I also remember a saying in regards to Sayyidi Imam Nawawi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, the great muhaddith, in regards to him and his love for seeking knowledge was that he, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, when he would seek knowledge, he would sit in front of a wall. And at night time, when he would fall sleepy, when he would like doze off, he would hit his head off the wall. That would cause him to wake back up again. And he would continue to study. This was the love of the awliya of Allah in seeking knowledge. And obviously, their seeking knowledge was way more in depth than ours. They were muhaddith, you know, mufassir, etc. But for us, we can't even learn the basics. The faraid of wudu, faraid of ghusl, you know. And there are many virtues of seeking Islamic knowledge as well. And this is something that we emphasize on to a lot of people. And some people may be thinking that, why do you emphasize on seeking Islamic knowledge? Reason is that the reason why we emphasize on it is so that people don't get stuck on the Day of Judgment. A lot of people they might not know what is right and what is wrong. Maybe they're performing something which is haram, they're thinking that it's right. So if we don't inform them, this is why we say to them, seek Islamic knowledge so you can differentiate what is right and what is wrong. And there's many ahadith in regards to the one who seeks Islamic knowledge. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sent Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala to Yemen, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides anyone through you, so for you it is better than the world and whatever it contains. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying to Hassan Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an. Obviously Hassan Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an is a alim adin, scholar of Islam. So here, if you seek knowledge and you become a means of rectifying people, and if people become rectified because of you, then for you it is better than the world and whatever it contains.
No.
We can become the mishtaq of this hadith and be, you know, worthy of the blessing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. The second hadith in the one who seeks knowledge is the one who learns one chapter of knowledge to teach it to people will be given the reward of 70 siddiqeen. The third hadith is a Muslim cannot give benefit to his Muslim brother that when he receives any good thing, so he conveys it to his brother. And the fourth one is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to do good to someone, he azza wa jal bestows the understanding of a religion upon him. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good with somebody, he gives him the understanding of fiqh. And you know, Islamic knowledge is not only benefiting in the dunya, it's also benefit for us in the akhirah. So like if we pass away and we've delivered Islamic knowledge to people, and somebody in the audience or someone that we've delivered to and rectified, if they act upon it, even when we pass away, this will be a form of sadaqatul jariyah for
it's
us.
It's a win-win situation, because if you look at Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, as you touched upon it there, he devoted himself to knowledge. Hmm. We know his famous Fatawa Razawiya. Maybe you have the figures there, but I believe there's more than 21,000 pages. Thousands of questions.
And
he lived in a time where social media wasn't even present.
Exactly.
Yet he had questions from Africa.
Subhanallah.
He's in Bareilly, he's in India.
Yeah.
He had questions from as far as Africa. Mm. There's a compilation, a work of his titled Fatawa Ifriqiya.
Allah.
So imagine if he was in this day and age, he would be 10 times busier, I would assume. He was very busy back then as well. He didn't get any time for anything else. Answering questions, everybody would come, awam would come. Scholars and muftis would come to his call.
Allah.
So he devoted himself. Now think about it. When he wrote, he was an alim of ilmun niyyah. He knew about making intentions. So he's got his reward for writing that knowledge, for engaging himself in that knowledge. And then the next thing that you mentioned, that now that he's passed away, it's been over a century, his work lives on. That's his legacy. So every time someone benefits from Fatawa Razawiyya, and they do, muftis are
so
benefiting, ulama are benefiting, awam are benefiting, the tahaffuz, the preservation of Sunni aqaid,
subhanallah,
alhamdulillah, to a large extent, is due to the barakah of that work, Fatawa Razawiyya, and the works of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. So he gained reward in his time when he made good intentions and sought knowledge as ibadah, taught knowledge as ibadah, and now, long after he's gone, people are benefiting as well. So you know the hadith you mentioned, which is in Jami' Bayan al-Ilm, that a Muslim cannot give greater benefit to his Muslim brother than when he receives any good thing, he conveys it to his brother. It's very important that we think we can only benefit our Muslim brother by giving him money, by giving him wealth, by giving him a platform, by giving him worldly assets and possessions. But here, the hadith states you can't give any greater benefit than when you yourself learn something, you pass it on to him. When you pass it on to him, ilm-e-deen, and he acts upon it, like you said, it's just continuous charity, continuous thawab and continuous reward. You'll see the barakah of that in the dunya, but more importantly in the akhirah, when the hadith mentioned that an alim, someone becomes an alim, he'll be stopped at the gates of paradise.
Allah.
And he'll be thinking, what's going on here? Maybe even a bit fearful, like what's gone wrong? But he'll be told, no, Allah Ta'ala didn't stop you because he wants to punish you. Allah Ta'ala granted you the blessings of knowledge. You taught people knowledge. Now, all those people who learned through you, benefited through you, perform shafa'ah for them.
Subhanallah.
And then the narration mentions that people will come and say, Huzoor, do you remember when I gave you wudu water?
Subhanallah.
Do you remember when I helped you? Well, when I was able to serve you on so-and-so day, do shafa'ah for me. So the barakat of knowledge are endless, and we're talking about a mujaddid of his time.
Muhaddith,
mufassir, faqih. So his reward is unlimited. Allah Ta'ala is the one who bestows reward. So what we learn from this is, what the seniors, what the elders do, that is what has barakah. So al-barakatu ma'a kabirikum, the hadith states. We need to busy ourselves in engaging knowledge as well. This is a form of ibadah, like you said, and it'll benefit us in both worlds.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. As we are on the topic of acquiring knowledge, and no doubt, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat in subhanallah, in acquiring knowledge was a master in it. Now, there's many blessings in regards to acquiring knowledge. There's a few narrations in regards to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to the seeking knowledge. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, certainly knowledge is acquired through learning. Without learning, we cannot acquire knowledge. A lot of people nowadays, people don't want to learn. They just want to listen. There's a difference between listening and learning.
Yes.
Listening is on social media, on TikTok, on any social media platform. Just listen to it. Okay, that's it now. I know the hadith. And this is another thing as well, Ustaz, you know, people just listen on TikTok. They don't really learn.
Yeah.
So they become social media maulvis.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, just they hear one hadith. And we know as well, Ustaz, that you have to study. Every hadith has an explanation. People don't understand the hadith and they take it by its literal meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people can become misguided through that. Yeah. This hadith, this narration of the Messenger of Allah, Knowledge is acquired through learning, not via listening. It's by learning. You have to study and learn. Another narration that the world is cursed and everything in it is also cursed except for the dhikr of Allah, except for his wali, i.e. the friend and the one who learns and teaches religious knowledge. Subhanallah. Another one is study is the means of strengthening iman. Subhanallah. Knowledge increases through study. Study is a means of gaining ma'rifat. And by studying, a person develops the mindset of pondering over the universe. Study increases the intellect and awareness. Subhanallah. So there are many, many virtues of studying ilm al-deen and studying and seeking Islamic knowledge. You know, we should, for the viewers of Madani channel, we should always, always have a means of studying Islamic knowledge. I know we are busy in the world. We are earning a livelihood, providing for our families. No doubt you can continue. Even providing halal money, earning halal money is also a form of worship. So earn halal money, provide for your family. But also always keep a means of seeking Islamic knowledge. So you have that short, you know, that small sort of increasement of Islamic knowledge in your mind. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every single one of us the ability to understand and seek Islamic knowledge. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Razak.